This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Saturday, January 1, 2022. The Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. The shepherds glorified God for because what they had heard and seen. Something had been revealed to them divinely. They did not sit around and talk about it and say how cool it was that angels came. They did not try to figure out amongst themselves what this may be. They just got up and they went to a place where the angels told them to go, and they found our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the divine inspiration of the angels and the cooperation of the shepherds as they got up and went. We have received the same thing. If the shepherds just, because it was divinely revealed, they just immediately yielded to that with all their being, how much more should we to the divine truths we have been revealed? Because not just angels reveal them to us, but the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit speaks to our souls. It begins at our baptism. It is something that is exclusive to us as believers, as baptized Christians. This is something that we should relish. It should something in which we should take a holy pride. Notice I say a holy pride because it is nothing that we came with on our own. We did not figure it out. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has imparted his Holy Spirit to us, divinely revealed things. We have heard them. Now it is up to do as the shepherd did and cooperate with that, to do our part. This is our lot. This is how our life of faith begins. Today, after this Mass, there will be a baptism. This is the reality of some changes that have happened in the church, of the many that have happened over the past several decades, that present something deficiently. Back in the day, whenever parents brought their children to be baptized, the first question is, still is, what do you desire of the church? And now the answer is baptism, asking the church to perform a rite, a ritual. That has never been what the response was to what do you desire of God's church. The answer has always been faith. Because before you're baptized, you don't have it. It should not be presumed that you have it. You don't. You are dead in trespasses and sins. This is the reality of things. If a child is nurtured up in the truth by their parents, you know, that deficiency is overcome. And it is just one of those things that make us think, because it's presented in a way that is not how we should embrace our faith. It is not the way things are, really. We just don't ask for a ritual. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he points several times throughout the gospel. He points out the Pharisees for its very holy guys on their faith. You know, you're always worried about washings and washing pots and washing your hands and not doing this and doing dotting I's and crossing T's. It's not about that. That's part of it, but it's more the side of to understand our faith, to have a profound understanding of why we do these things, not just doing them because. This is what we need to appreciate about divine truths that are given us. The divine truths, all of them, not today, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, the divine truth that a teenage girl became Theotokos in the Greek, the bearer of God, the mother of God. God doesn't have a mother. There are a lot of billions of people out there in other religions say that's false because God's awesome. He doesn't have a mother. He's transcendent. God took on flesh, and the necessity of him having an earthly mother is the part and parcel of the incarnation. That's just one of the divine truths. We believe that bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God Almighty himself. The world looks at you as if you're an idiot if you believe that. Look at it. What are you, silly? It's bread. It's wine. As the hymn says, faith our outward sense befriending makes our inward vision clear. Why do we believe that it looks like bread and wine, it tastes like bread and wine, it feels like bread? How come we believe that it's divinity? Because God Almighty himself says it was. The source. If the source is divine, the truth is divine. Pope St. Leo the Great, as he quotes about, and he's talking about this particular feast day, the octave day of Christmas. And he says, only he celebrates today's feast piously and truly who holds no false doctrine concerning the incarnation. Now, are there hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people gathering in churches here and there today who are celebrating this day who basically look at their faith as a salad bar? I like that. I don't like this. I'll agree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't believe that the church teaches that anymore. All this kind of stuff. Notice St. Leo the Great does not say only he celebrates today's feast who holds no false doctrine. He says he who celebrates today's feast piously and truly. What differentiates just showing up to celebrating piously and truly? Piety and truth are what we bring to the table. It is how we approach what we do when we're here, what our mindset is. Yeah, I went to the Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. Most of the time I was sitting there, I was thinking about what I was going to do in the afternoon. That's not piously and truly celebrating. You're going to receive some graces while you're here. You can't help it. You're in the presence of Jesus Christ. You're going to receive some graces, but what you bring to the table increases the graces. The more pious and the more truly you celebrate, the more graces you receive. Okay, that's what your church teaches. That's what St. Leo is talking about. If we piously and truly hold, not just this one, all of them, Christmas, Easter, Epiphany later on this week, all of these feast days, every time we come in on Sunday, because every Sunday we come in here, it's a little bit of Christmas and a little bit of Easter. Every single time we come and celebrate Mass, if we piously and truly put our minds into that mindset, we get it. Okay, and I don't mean get it like understand everything. I mean we deepen our faith. This is what is demanded for us. It's Christmas time. You know, I said in my Christmas homily, I was, you know, talking about the union between Christ's humanity and his divinity, how it's not a mixture, it's not half and half, it's not this sometimes and that other times. 100% God and 100% man. We can't get that. That's why God presents himself like that. That's why he presents himself, for instance, as a Trinity. Who can understand that? Three in one and one in three. That doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to the worldling. It doesn't make any sense to them at all. Why do we embrace that truth? Because that's the way God's revealed himself. This is what we need to do. We need to let that spirit inwardly bend our senses. When our Lord Jesus Christ is on this earth, he becomes incarnate, and some of the things that happen, we can't help because we are so limited, and he placed limitations on himself. That's called theologically kenosis. He emptied himself of all of his prerogatives of God all the time, and he clothed himself in flesh, and he came down here, and he wept, he was hungry, he suffered, and he died. Things God cannot do. But he took on flesh so he could do them. Even in Jesus Christ's presentation of himself, say 100% God, 100% man. When he is talking to the apostles in the upper room discourse, he says, the Father is greater than I. Well, I guess he's not God then, because the Father is greater than him. He might be really special, but then in the same gospel, when he speaks to St. Philip, He says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. What is it, Jesus? Is he greater than you? Are you the same? Yes. After the incarnation. I can't get that. Welcome to my world. I read and think about this stuff every single day. So I'm confronted with a whole lot more than you, probably. I don't get it. That's why it's easy for me to stay up here a lot of times and say, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I realize that. The best guys that quit seminary, or they get out of seminary, on their last day of seminary, the day you graduate, you actually should feel like you know less than you did when you got there. Because that's just the reality of delving into the things of God. And then we live our life trying to get closer to him. We yield to the truths that have been presented to us, no matter what our vocation in life may be. Because we yield to them because the source of the truths is divine. And as I said, this makes the truths by consequence divine. We must completely, as it says in the old breviary today, abandon the darkness of earthly speculation. I'm as guilty as anyone. There's a lot of people who are really hung up on this, trying to figure some things out. Newsflash. Do that. Try to figure them out. But when you're confronted, when you just can't pass this certain barrier, appreciate that. Because you've come to grips with the fact that you can't figure it out. He's God. You're not. He wants us to get that part. And that's an easy one for us. That's just objective. The second reading today. Galatians chapter 4. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. This is that divinely inspired truth. He's not being all warm and fuzzy and making us try to feel better about ourselves because we have the Holy Spirit. He's basically giving us a warning. He's putting us in that's actually in the midst of a caution. He says a couple verses later, but now after you have known God, how turn you again to the weak and needy elements which you desire to serve again? That's this. That's a weak and needy element. We need him because our intellects are weak after, as a result of the fall of our first parents. They are weak. We need him to enlighten us on things. But after he enlightens us, if we try to put our two cents into it, that's where problems start. That's when they're not divine truths anymore. It's a truth that I will accept in as much as I can understand it. That's not faith. That's not faith. We are people who stand up for our faith. We are people who are called to present this faith to others. Well, they're going to think I'm an idiot if I tell them bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God. Tell them that. Tell them that with all the conviction of your soul. That is your vocation. That is part and parcel of being Catholic. We've gotten away from doing that. I said about the old breviary today, says something that breviary, the liturgy of the hours, the mass, being exposed to things over and over again in the liturgical cycle, it keeps our face up in these things. It keeps our face up in these things, and it makes us, if we're doing the right thing, if we are celebrating and praying truly and piously, we are considering them. I've been using the 1962 breviary for probably 11 or 12 years now. And it's to the point now where on big feast days like this, I open, I know what I'm going to read. The lessons are the same every single year. Every single year, I come away with something a little bit different because that's the way the Holy Spirit has lined stuff up for us. Again, liturgy hours, mass, Christmas, all this mass, all that mass. I can say this one by heart. I can do that. That's really good. Do it by heart, but don't do it by rote. Do it by heart and think about it every single time you do it and glean things from it. If we don't pay attention, we start to lose it. One of the things that's happened, again, a deficiency over the past several decades, is the lack of the requirement for clerics to read the Roman Martyrology. They actually suppressed the hour in which that happened, the hour of prime. If you use the old breviary, you have to read the Roman Martyrology every single day. It is almost like the prayers I was saying before. You'll hit certain days, this is this martyr's day. I know this story. It's gross. What happened to this person? Today, January 1st, St. Almachius. Give a quiz on that one. Saint what? St. Almachius. He's a martyr. And you know why he was martyred on January 1st? Because he went out, Roman, he went out into the streets and started talking to gather some people around him, pagans, and he looked at them and he said, "Today is the octave day of the Lord. Give up the superstition of idols and unclean sacrifices." And they killed him for it. They marched him directly to the place of execution and threw him in a bunch of gladiators and let them practice on him. That's somebody who's standing up for their truth. You know, in our day, well, you'd hear people in the church, well, he was imprudent when he did that. That wasn't very prudent, St. Almachius, to go out there and say that to people. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't very charitable because they're just seeking God in their own way. It's the wrong way. And he tried to set them straight, and it cost him his life. But he's in the Roman Martyrology right now, for those who would read it. And we learn about the faith of these people. Nobody does that for some idea that they have in their own mind. But when you truly believe that God has revealed these truths, and God requires of us to present this truth to other people, then it doesn't make it easy, but it makes it necessary. That's what we should head for that. We should head for the, you know, oh, I might offend this person. I might offend that person. Do what you need to do. And what you need to do is you need to present God's truth. Why? Because you think so? No, that's why you never say, I think, I believe. None of that. You say, God says, the scriptures say, the church has always taught. That's what you say, because that's divinely inspired truth. The source is divine. The truth is divine. We need to act like it's divine. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.